what else is going on? And specifically, I want to ask you about your post-neoadjuvant metronomic bevacizumab trial.
Yeah. So one marker for identifying patients who are greater risk for recurrence is to see what happens with their treatment experience already. And there's been a lot of interest in neoadjuvant chemotherapy. The cooperative groups are making a lot of trials built around it. And the honest truth is that the vast majority of patients will have residual disease after they've had neoadjuvant chemotherapy. Even in the best case scenarios of optimal chemotherapy for estrogen receptor negative tumor, you know, the PCR rate is still on the order of 30 to 40%, which means 60 to 70% of women have residual cancer. And if you look at women who have ER positive breast cancer, 90 to 95% will have residual invasive cancer after their neoadjuvant chemotherapy. And we know that these women are at higher risk for recurrence. So we have been focusing on this patient population to look at novel strategies. And in particular, we've started by looking at anti-angiogenesis strategies. The first study we have done was a feasibility study of bevacizumab given for 1 year to patients who had preoperative chemotherapy, who had residual disease at the time of their surgery. And this is a collaboration between ourselves at Dana-Farber, my friend Kathy Miller at Indiana University, and our colleagues at UCSF and UNC. So we have concluded the accrual to the first cohort. We are now into the second cohort, which is that same year of bevacizumab. And for the first 6 months of that treatment, we are using our low-dose oral metronomic chemotherapy program with cyclophosphamide and methotrexate. We're now accruing to that study. And there will be a third cohort, which will be bevacizumab paired with capecitabine. We're moving to capecitabine in part because there's just so much familiarity with that drug. And ultimately, what we would like to do would be a randomized trial in this patient setting where you would take women who had chemotherapy, had residual disease, and randomly assign them to chemotherapy or not, or to bevacizumab or not, to really ask a fundamental question about whether ongoing treatment would be beneficial. And because capecitabine is so familiar to oncologists and FDA approved, there are advantages to looking at the feasibility of that. So we believe this is a very exciting avenue of research. And I think the patient population makes a lot of sense for a couple reasons. One is, again, these are relatively high-risk patients who don't have standard chemotherapy options available to them. The second is that these are all tumors that, by clinical definition, have some relative resistance to chemotherapy. They had persistent disease after 4 to 5 months of chemotherapy. And so I think it makes a lot of sense to try and introduce newer strategies for their care. So that's been a very exciting piece of work. My colleague at Dana-Farber, Erica Mayer, has really spearheaded this with me, and we are very much looking forward to sharing those data soon.